Thank you. Good morning, or good afternoon, and I guess I should say good morning to folks in Indiana. I'm Jennifer Tolbert, Director of State Health Reform here at the Kaiser Family Foundation, and I'm joined by my colleague, Karen Politz, who is a senior fellow. We're also grateful to have participating navigators and assisters from the three states. They are Julia Holloway, Director of Program Development and Navigator Services with the Affiliated Service Providers of Indiana, Teresa Rios Bishop, Outreach and Policy Manager with the Ohio Association of Community Health Centers, and Antoinette Krause, Executive Director with Pennsylvania Health Access Network. And so before we get started, I'd like to go over some important logistics. First, today's web briefing will be recorded. The archived recording and the slides will be posted online, and everyone who RSVP'd will receive notification of when they are posted. Also, this webinar is listen only. However, you can still ask a question using the chat function. Just type in your question at any time during the web briefing. We'll answer them during the Q&A session following the presentations. And if your question is specific to one of our participating states, please just be sure to note that in your question. So now let's get started. The Affordable Care Act's fifth open enrollment is less than a week away. But in some respects, consumers may be laboring under more uncertainty, confusion, and misinformation than was the case just before the first open enrollment back in 2013. It's been a tumultuous year with many events leading us up to today. The past year has been dominated by a debate in Congress over repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. But following the failure of efforts to replace the ACA, the administration has taken a number of steps, including shortening open enrollment, reducing federal funding for advertising and for in-person assistance, and most recently, terminating payments to insurance companies for the cost-sharing subsidies they're required by law to provide. Our tracking polls here at the Kaiser Family Foundation find evidence of confusion and uncertainty among consumers. Following the debate over repealing the ACA, nearly 30% of the general public and 40% of uninsured do not know or are unsure whether the law's individual mandate remains in effect. So the first thing that consumers need to know is that the ACA is still the law. There is still a requirement to have health coverage or pay a tax penalty. The penalty for 2018 is the same as for 2017, which is the greater of $695 per adult or 2.5% of income above the tax filing threshold. To satisfy the mandate, people can sign up for health coverage offered at work. They can also apply for Medicaid or CHIP. Over 690,000 residents in Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania are estimated to be eligible for Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program but are not currently enrolled. And people who don't have access to job-based health coverage or public programs can buy individual health insurance. Subsidies are available through the marketplace for people with incomes between the federal poverty level and four times poverty, or about $12,000 to $48,000 a year for an individual. But non-group coverage can only be purchased during open enrollment or outside of that period following certain life change qualifying events. So our tracking poll also found that people don't know when this coming open enrollment starts and ends. Even among people already enrolled in the marketplace, 60% are unaware that the next open enrollment begins on November 1st. Among the uninsured, 85% don't know this opening date. And 75% of marketplace enrollees and 95% of the uninsured are unaware that the open enrollment period ends this year on December 15th. Consumers need to know these dates. All previous open enrollment periods have extended at least through the end of January. But this year, in healthcare.gov states, the open enrollment period is just 6 weeks long, starting on November 1st and ending on December 15th. Again, after that date, consumers will not be able to buy individual health insurance coverage for 2018 unless they have a qualifying event, like the loss of other coverage, that triggers a special enrollment period. This year, as in the past, people who are already enrolled in Marketplace coverage and who don't act by 11:59 p.m. on December 15th to renew or change coverage will likely be automatically renewed, either in their current coverage or in a different plan if their plan is not being offered in 2018. Auto renewal has been standard practice for several years now. In fact, during the last open enrollment period, 23% of Marketplace signups were accomplished by auto renewal. Consumers have always been advised to actively shop and not just rely on auto renewal, and this year that is especially good advice. In the past, people could see the results of their auto renewal in January, and they still had a month to change plans if they didn't like the plan in which they were auto-renewed. That won't be the case this year. And as we'll discuss in a minute, a number of 2017 Marketplace insurers are leaving in 2018, and premiums are increasing, unlike what we've seen in the past. So it will be more important than ever for consumers to actively shop for a new plan. So we are, as I mentioned, seeing changes in terms of participating insurers. In Indiana and Ohio, there are some changes in which insurers will be offering Marketplace plans. There are no changes in Pennsylvania. So Anthem has left the market in both Indiana and Ohio, and additionally, MD Wise left the Indiana market. And Humana has left the Ohio market. Now, in Ohio, Centene is expanding its service area, and Oscar entered the Cleveland market. And all other insurers will continue to offer Marketplace plans in both Ohio and Indiana. And as I mentioned, all insurers are continuing to participate in Pennsylvania. So our tracking polls also find that Marketplace consumers are very worried about the affordability of their coverage. A majority are concerned that they won't be able to continue to afford coverage next year due to rising premiums and rising deductibles. It's important for consumers to know, however, that the ACA subsidies are still available, and that includes the premium tax credits that reduce the premium that consumers pay, as well as the cost-sharing subsidies that reduce deductibles and out-of-pocket costs. And just a quick reminder, the cost-sharing subsidies are available to Marketplace enrollees with income 100 to 250% of poverty who purchase silver plans. These subsidies increase the actuarial value of the silver plans, thus lowering the deductibles and other out-of-pocket costs compared to the traditional silver plan. So 2 weeks ago, President Trump announced he is ending reimbursement to insurers for these cost-sharing subsidies, something he had been threatening to do all year. But it's really important for consumers to understand that while the Trump administration is terminating reimbursement to insurers, those insurers are still required to offer the cost-sharing subsidies to eligible consumers. So the most important takeaway for consumers are that the cost-sharing subsidies are still available, and that while insurers are raising premiums to compensate for the loss of federal payments, consumers eligible for tax credits will mostly be held harmless for those premium increases. So let's take a look at specifically what's happening in our three states. So what most insurers did is to apply this extra rate increase. This is the increase due to the loss of the CSR payments, the cost-sharing subsidy payments, to insurers. So they applied this extra rate increase to the premiums for the silver plans, because those are the plans that deliver the cost-sharing subsidies. In other words, the premium increases were loaded onto these silver plans, and while the bronze and gold plans also saw premium increases, those were at much lower levels. And in fact, some insurers applied these extra rate increases just to the premiums for silver plans sold through the marketplaces, not to silver plans that are sold off the marketplace. And so this is how insurers in Ohio and Pennsylvania set their rates. Now, as a result, silver premiums in these states will increase much more than will premiums in bronze or gold plans. But because the dollar value of premium tax credits is tied to the cost of the benchmark silver plan, when the silver plan premiums go up, the tax credits will also go up, just about dollar for dollar. So the bottom line for consumers, if you're eligible for tax credits, know that the tax credit will absorb the premium increase. As long as you buy the benchmark silver plan or a cheaper plan, you will pay the same or less than you did in 2017 for coverage. And this year, because of the unusual pattern of premium rate changes in Ohio and Pennsylvania, people may also find other deals on bronze and gold plans. Now, insurers in Indiana took a different approach. They applied the premium increases due to the loss of the cost-sharing subsidies across all plans. So consumers in Indiana who are eligible for subsidies will be held harmless from the premium increases, but other consumers will pay more. So now let's look at some specific examples. So here are some examples from healthcare.gov. The window shopping tool has opened, so people can now go to healthcare.gov and enter their information to see what their own situation will be. This example shows a 30-year-old living in Indianapolis with income at 200% of the federal poverty level, which is about $24,000 in 2018. In 2017, this person was eligible for a tax credit of $127 per month. If she used that credit to buy the benchmark silver plan, she would have paid $127 toward the premium. Now, in 2018, the benchmark plan is increasing by $71 a month, or a 28% increase. But as I mentioned, her tax credit will also go up by the same amount. So she can get the benchmark plan again next year for roughly the same amount. The difference here that you see is due to kind of how healthcare.gov rounds the premiums. So it's essentially the same amount. And if she prefers to buy the lowest cost bronze plan, she'll pay a little bit less, $91 in 2018 compared to $107 in 2017. In this case, however, a gold plan will be much more expensive in 2018. So now let's move this young woman to Cleveland. So in 2017, she was eligible for a tax credit of $76 per month. And if she used that tax credit to buy the benchmark silver plan, she would have paid another $127. Now, in 2018, the benchmark plan is going up $80 a month, or a 39% increase. But again, her tax credit is going to increase by the same amount. So if she buys the benchmark plan, she will pay roughly the same that she did in 2017. But if she prefers, she can buy the lowest cost bronze plan, and she'll pay almost half as much as she did in 2017. She'll pay $62 in 2018 compared to $117 in 2017. And then similarly, she can also get a slightly better deal on a lowest cost gold plan. She'll pay $179 in 2018 compared to $201 in 2017. Okay, so now we're moving on to Philadelphia, where things look different still. So premiums are rising much higher in Pennsylvania than in Indiana and Ohio. However, by loading the most of the premium increases on the silver plans, many consumers will be protected. So in 2018, the benchmark plan is increasing by over 50%, or $193 per month. But again, the woman in our example will see her tax credit increase, so she can get the benchmark plan again next year for roughly the same cost. And interestingly, if she were to buy the lowest cost silver plan, her premium would in fact be $0 a month. And because of the huge increase in the benchmark plan, she can now buy a bronze plan for $0 a month. And in fact, the gold plan is now less expensive than the silver plan. So she can buy a gold plan for $42 a month. And this may be a really good option, particularly for those who receive premium tax credits, but not the cost-sharing subsidies, which are tied to the silver plans. So once again, the bottom line message for consumers is that premiums are going up in 2018, but most of that increase is being applied to the silver plans, at least in most states. So the subsidies will keep up. And subsidy-eligible individuals will be able to pay about the same or less in their monthly premiums. So there are a couple other things that consumers need to be aware of in 2018. There are some new rules that are taking effect this year. First, consumers who received premium tax credits in 2016 and did not file their 2016 federal income tax return this year with the IRS Form 8962 will not be eligible for the premium tax credits in 2018. So for those consumers who haven't reconciled their tax credits, they will discover this problem when they apply for 2018 coverage and the subsidies. Their eligibility determination will say that they are ineligible for the tax credits. Unfortunately, it won't tell them why, so they're going to have to figure this out on their own. Now, they can address this issue by filing an amended 2016 return with that form 8962, then go back into their healthcare.gov account, indicate the change, and that should turn their subsidy on. However, again, with the shortened open enrollment period, they're going to have much less time to accomplish this. So this will they'll need to do this by December 15th. The other new rule that was implemented this year allows insurers to refuse to effectuate consumers' 2018 coverage if they owe past due premiums from 2018. Now, this new rule took effect on January 19th and only affects will only affect consumers who were notified of this change and for any past due premiums that happened after June 19th. So we don't expect that this will affect many consumers this year, but looking ahead, consumers need to know that missing premiums can limit their ability to continue coverage in the future. So given all of these changes, the last thing I want to mention is that consumers should start early. Waiting to the final week of open enrollment is risky. So as we've experienced with each open enrollment period, there is a surge in signups as the deadline approaches, and we expect that surge to be even greater this year because of the shortened open enrollment period. Consumers can expect to see slowdowns in the healthcare.gov website as well as longer wait times for the call center. In the past, HHS has allowed an in-line extension for people who started applications by the deadline but didn't complete their enrollment. It is not clear if that will happen again this year. So, again, consumers are encouraged to complete the enrollment process by 11:59 p.m. on December 15th. Meanwhile, HHS has announced planned maintenance periods during which healthcare.gov will not be available. That includes every Sunday morning during open enrollment, as well as some possible outages on November 1st. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, HHS also cut funding for navigators in federal marketplace states. There was a 35% cut overall in Pennsylvania, 82% in Indiana, and 96% in Ohio. Programs that took large cuts have had to lay off staff, reduce hours of operation, or their geographic service areas. And in fact, one navigator in Ohio was forced to terminate operations. But as we're going to hear from our state participants, in-person assistance remains available, and they will tell you how consumers can access that assistance. And finally, one last thing. It's worth noting that consumers can enroll in Medicaid throughout the year. In Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, they have expanded Medicaid and are covering more than 1.8 million low-income adults. This coverage remains available, and again, consumers can apply for Medicaid and for coverage for children through the Children's Health Insurance Program throughout the year. So we have a number of resources on our Kaiser Family Foundation website, including some frequently asked questions. Our marketplace subsidy calculator will be updated for 2018. We will be implementing a new penalty calculator that will calculate how much people will owe if they don't purchase coverage. So I encourage you to go to our website and check out those resources. And now I'm going to turn things over to Julia.
Good afternoon. First thing I would like for you to know about enrollment is Aspen will continue to assist consumers throughout the state of Indiana with a workforce reduction from 30 funded navigators to 18 using resources from a diverse funding that we have. Advanced slide, please. We operate a statewide call center year-round, housed in Indianapolis. Appointments can be scheduled by calling our call center at the number there, 877-313-7215, or going to our website and clicking on a schedule on an appointment tab. Next slide. Aspen Navigators work in local communities with mobile offices and are able to meet at neighborhood libraries, coffee shops, and other convenient locations to consumers, including a number of regular locations like our network of community mental health centers around the state, Center Stone in Bloomington, Bowen Center in Warsaw, and Hamilton Center in Terre Haute, to name a few. Next slide. To get ready for open enrollment, our navigators have been reconnecting with consumers through our survey process. We conduct 4 surveys per year after someone goes through the enrollment process. During the first survey, we call this consumer back after 1 to 2 months to make sure everything is set up. They're paying their premiums, and they're on their way with their new plan. In survey 2, we make sure that that's 4 or 5 months after enrollment. We make sure that they've picked their primary care provider and maybe called for an appointment for their preventive services appointment. During survey 3, we're just checking in to make sure that you haven't had any reportable changes or qualifying events and see if someone's moved or need any assistance at about the 7-month mark. And then as we've been getting ready for open enrollment, we've been utilizing Survey 4, which is checking with consumers to schedule their marketplace open enrollment appointment. We made 173 calls this last week to consumers. Today is the last day people are calling to do those surveys to get to get appointments scheduled. And about 15% of our consumers called have scheduled appointments. Next slide. Navigators have been sending out emails to community partners about the shortened open enrollment period, posting flyers, scheduling enrollment appointments or and events, like at libraries in local communities. We've scheduled appointments for open enrollment since the middle of September, with navigators having 5 to 10 appointments already set up to having the first 3 weeks of open enrollment full of appointments. Equipment, brochures, and presentations have all been updated, and navigators are now reviewing the new plans that came out late last week and the process for interpreter services. Next slide. A new strategy we have this year is a Pandora radio campaign targeting 19 rural counties with the ability to text a request for an appointment, hoping to reach a targeted marketplace eligible consumer group of about 40,000 individuals, with consumers hearing our ad at the station of their choice 3 times a week. And they would text 31996 and place in the text nav, and we would get back with them to schedule an appointment. Next slide. We want consumers to know that we are here to help with enrollment during this shortened open enrollment period, and we'll be here to assist with special enrollment periods after December 15th. Post-enrollment assistance with the Healthy Indiana Plan, our expanded Medicaid program, and the Children's Health Insurance Plan. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Now let's turn things over to Teresa.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Good afternoon, and thank you again to the Kaiser Family Foundation for hosting this webinar. I'm Teresa Rios Bishop, the Outreach and Policy Manager for the Ohio Association of Community Health Centers. And first, I just wanted to share a little bit more about OACHC since we're a little different than our other co-presenters on today's webinar. OACHC represents all of Ohio's 50 federally qualified health center networks, or FQHCs you may have heard of, or more commonly we're referred to as community health centers. Ohio health centers provide care to more than 670,000 Ohioans via 280 care sites in 65 of Ohio's 88 counties. In terms of enrollment assistance, each health center network employs at least one certified application counselor, or since we all love our acronyms, CACs. However, like all services provided by a community health center, the number of CACs or assisters for each health center varies based on the community need. Next slide, please. And what we're about to see here is the breadth and scope of our network of health center networks. As I briefly just mentioned, health center services are based on the needs of each individual community. In fact, our health centers are run by a 51% patient majority board. We have a saying here, if you've been to one health center, you've been to one health center. This can even ring true within a network. If you look down in the southwest quadrant at that health center that looks like a purple lollipop, that health center has locations in mostly rural areas. But they also have a site near urban Cincinnati and even a location in a predominantly Amish area. As you can imagine, the delivery and approach of all the services, even throughout that one network, can be much different. But what is not different is the commitment to comprehensive patient-centered care. With a proven record of delivering high-quality, low-cost health care, coupled with a strong presence in vulnerable communities, including urban neighborhoods, small towns, and rural communities where unemployment or underinsurance may be high, providing health insurance assistance and enrollment is a natural fit for community health centers. Next slide, please. So what exactly does enrollment assistance look like in Ohio? This list on this slide represents the major players in the Buckeye State for the fifth open enrollment period. Of course, we highlight the community health center CACs first, but there are also other nonprofit CAC organizations like local health departments that will also be providing assistance. We are joined with a Navigator grantee stationed in Southwest Ohio. We have agents and brokers that have been involved since the first open enrollment period. Many organizations also take advantage of the Get Covered Connector, which I know many of their states, and Julia mentioned, has a similar program where you can use a phone or a web version to schedule appointments. Additionally, many regional partners partner with their local United Ways, especially with the 211 phone service that provides referrals to assist their organizations. And Ohio's legal aid community has been instrumental in connecting Ohioans to coverage. In closing, each of the organizations I've mentioned is committed to connecting Ohioans to coverage, and they've all teamed up locally to join forces for events and to pool resources. One thing we've learned in Ohio over the past 5 years is that collaboration, planning, and networking are the keys to success, and our keys are in the ignition, and we are ready to enroll. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you, Teresa. And now I'll turn it over to Antoinette.
Thanks, and thanks, Kaiser Family Foundation, for putting this together. So I'm the Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Health Access Network. We're unique in the fact that we are a subgrantee in multiple Navigator grants. And if you go to our first slide, you can see the breadth of our network across the state. This map will be on our website later today, and we're also going to have contact information for navigators across the state, both at the Pennsylvania Health Access Network and our partners, so folks can figure out pretty quickly, you know, who they can get in touch with in their local communities. You know, despite a reduction in funding, there will still be robust navigator programs throughout the state, and it seems like there will be very few areas where there will be no in-person assistance. Our model is uniquely different in the fact that we meet folks where they are at in the local community, where it, you know, the local coffee shop, the local library, and partnered with community-based organizations to meet folks where they are. And like other folks have said on this call, we're encouraging folks to seek in-person assistance early and to start the process early. We have a statewide helpline that you can call or text 877-570-3642, or folks can go to our website, pahealthaccess.org, get help. And if we go to the next slide, I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about what we're doing in light of the fact that there is reduced outreach capacity, reduced advertising in Pennsylvania. So we have launched a robust volunteer program to help connect folks to navigator programs. So we are training volunteers to table in their local communities, equipped with information to spread the word about the shortened open enrollment period and the importance of connecting with in-person assistance. So we have a host of volunteers out throughout the week and out on the weekends talking to folks to increase the awareness that open enrollment is coming and it's shortened this year. We're also running a phone bank. So we have a volunteer phone banking program that directly patches interested individuals directly to navigators. We are doing teletown halls. So our first one is Thursday. You know, we've worked with a variety of organizations to model a list of folks that we think are likely eligible or need to enroll, so we will be reaching out to thousands of Pennsylvanians to educate them about the upcoming open enrollment period. And most importantly, we continue enrollment coordination meetings. So we've been working with the Pennsylvania Insurance Department, other navigator organizations, other organizations that do community outreach to have a robust coordinated effort to make sure that we're doing everything we can to both spread the word in local communities, but also make sure that there are viable in-person assistant options for folks. If you look on the next slide, we have a bunch of contact information. So again, our helpline, 877-570-3642. You can email us. You can go to our webpage. The map that was on the first slide will be up by tomorrow, along with an enrollment calendar for folks to be able to check out enrollment events. One thing I want to mention to folks, Pennsylvania did front load the silver plan, which means that, you know, for the most part, consumers will be able to find plans at about the same cost and in some cases cheaper. The Pennsylvania Insurance Department, though, also work for folks that may not be eligible for tax credits or on the higher end of the scale to also offer off-marketplace plans for folks that won't get those tax credits to offset those rate increases. So there's a new tool, and it was actually launched this morning. So for folks that want to see off-marketplace options, you can go to the insurance department's webpage, which is on this slide, or folks can go to pacheckbookhealth.org. Again, pacheckbookhealth.org, and see what options there may be off-marketplace. While navigators can't really assist folks with off-marketplace plans, we still encourage everyone to see a navigator to make sure that they are screened so they know what they're eligible for, if they can get a tax credit, or maybe they should work with the Pennsylvania Insurance Department to find other options. So with that, I will leave it there.
Thank you very much, Antoinette. And thanks so much to all of our presenters for those very informative presentations. As you can see, there will be in-person assistance available to consumers, and we're grateful for the folks out in the field who will be helping consumers wade through all of this new information and new territory. And now we're going to answer questions that have been submitted through the chat function. Again, you can submit a question at any time. Just type it into the chat function. And, again, just to note, if your question relates to a specific state, please include that in your question. So I think I'll start with a question from Bing Hui, who says, I don't follow how anyone could pay less in 2017 in Pennsylvania. I cover a region of Pennsylvania. And I'll just start, and then maybe Antoinette, you could jump in. I think Antoinette mentioned that, you know, there certainly are options for consumers in Pennsylvania, and although the premiums are increasing quite a bit, those premiums were loaded onto the Silver Plan premium. And if you want to go show the example from Pennsylvania, maybe we could go back there. So because the premium increases were loaded onto the Silver premium, and because the tax credits are tied to that premium, the tax credits, you can see in Pennsylvania, the tax credits for the woman in our example jumped from $244 a month in 2017 all the way up to $437 a month in 2018. So with those tax credits, consumers can then use those tax credits to buy any plan. They don't have to buy the benchmark Silver plan. Now, of course, as we mentioned, if they are eligible for the cost-sharing subsidies, they are going to want to stick with a Silver plan, at least if they have income below 200% of poverty, because those plans are going to have lower out-of-pocket costs. But you can see from our example here that the share that the consumer will pay of this increased premium remains the same from 2017. So the premium would stay the same. And because the tax credits have gone up so much, consumers can use those tax credits to buy bronze or gold plans. And since those premiums have not increased as much as the silver premium, they can get better deals on the bronze and gold plans. So I hope that answers your question. Obviously, this is an example from Philadelphia that we're displaying here. The actual premiums will differ across the different regions in Pennsylvania.
This is Antoinette. I'll just jump in real quick. So I know that you cover the Lehigh Valley. So, you know, all of the assessments are right. You know, the tax credits are going up. And if I did a quick little modeling of what it would look like for the same person, you know, making $25,000 a year, 31 years old, in the Lehigh Valley, it looks like, you know, there's bronze plans that are available for folks with no premiums. There's a gold plan that's cheaper than the silver plan, and this is different than what we've seen in previous years in the Lehigh Valley. So, you know, I'm always happy to connect with you more offline. You know, you can talk to our navigator out there, but again, because of the front loading of the silver plan, it looks like, you know, there'll be much different options and prices available for folks, and folks may be able to find a better deal. But I think this is, again, pointing out the importance of making sure that folks connect with that in-person assistor and that navigator to kind of walk through this so that folks understand what it means and they're getting the best plan that meets their needs.
Great. Thank you, Antoinette. So we have a question from Sarah in Indiana. It says, I'm a reporter in Indiana. There are only two insurers left on the exchange here, CareSource, a nonprofit, and MHS Indiana. Do we know anything about how these companies' coverage will compare with other bigger companies such as Anthem, who have traditionally offered coverage up until this year? And in terms of, I think, thinking about networks, the PPO networks, the provider networks, as an example. Julia, can you answer that question?
Well, I think they're all still trying to connect with. The last webinar we had with CareSource, they were still trying to make sure that they're connecting with all those providers. And as we look at plans, we'll know more about that, who they've connected with. But I know the efforts were to connect and make sure that those providers that the other the plans that have left were going to be covered for folks.
Okay. Thank you.
I was just going to add, you know, in the, if you look at the map also, we know that we have many counties that just have one or the other provider, but we have about 30 counties that have both providers in them too.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thanks. So we have a question from Teresa. She says, I'm on COBRA now and retired. Can I apply or do I have to stay on COBRA until it runs out? It's very expensive. I'm going to ask my colleague Karen to answer that question.
Sure. I'm happy to take a shot at that. So the answer, Teresa, is that you can, during open enrollment, shop for health plans on the marketplace, and if you find a better deal there, you can terminate your COBRA coverage and switch onto a marketplace plan instead. COBRA does not make you ineligible for the marketplace, but open enrollment is the only time where you can quit COBRA voluntarily and switch over to a marketplace plan. If once open enrollment is over, then you have to kind of stick with your COBRA until it runs out or until the next open enrollment. A related part of Teresa's question was, I think she said she had taken some distributions from her 401k, and does that count as income? And the answer is yes, it could, depending on what's going on with your 401k. You will receive a 1099 in January. That's probably going to be too late. But you can probably find out from the administrator of your 401k how much of that distribution is considered taxable income. So if, you know, all of it or a portion of it, depending on how much you've taken out so far. So, yes, that can count as income. So that's something you're going to need to be careful about as you're going through the application. And then one other part of Teresa's question, I think also related in Pennsylvania, what should an individual do if they will be going on to Medicare in 2018 and only need insurance for a few months? The answer is get your other insurance for the few months until the month of your 65th birthday. And then in the month when you turn 65, your Medicare will start and you can terminate your marketplace or your other coverage at that point so that you no longer have to pay premiums and you'll no longer get premium tax credits paid on your behalf. It is important to affirmatively terminate. Don't just stop paying premiums in order to kind of, you know, automatically terminate that plan, but actually go onto your marketplace healthcare.gov account and indicate that you want to terminate your coverage and the effective date that you want coverage to stop.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. So Katie asked a question about CHIP. She said, I thought CHIP, this is the Children's Health Insurance Program, is in jeopardy for 2018 because funding has not been approved by Congress. And that is correct. The authorization for the CHIP program ended on September 30th of this year, and Congress needs to act to reauthorize the program and continue funding. Unfortunately, Congress has not done that. There are bills that are being debated, but they have not yet been brought to the floor in either the House or the Senate for a vote. That said, most states have funding to continue the program through the end of the year. There are a handful of states that are expected to run out of funds in early 2018, So consumers, children in those states may be at risk if Congress does not act to reauthorize the program. But coverage should continue through the end of 2017, and the hope is that Congress will act before the end of December, and so that it will avert any coverage losses so that states won't have to take action to actually end their programs because of the lack of funding. So let's see. We have a question from Sarah, who says, I saw Aspen had its funding reduced by $700,000. What else do you have to cut besides those 12 staff members this year? Julia, are you, you comfortable answering that question?
That's what we cut. We, like I said in the presentation piece, we do have some additional funding that we've received from HRSA and from CMS for the CHIP enrollments. So we are utilizing and having navigators there. So we have cut, unfortunately, is those navigators.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know it's tough. A tough time all around, that's for sure. We have a question from Tia, looks like in Pennsylvania, who asks, will insurers enforce the 2018 marketplace rule requiring consumers pay past-due premiums before covering them for 2018? We have confirmed some Pennsylvania insurers will not. Antoinette, can you, and I'll ask the other Julia and Teresa to weigh in on your states as well, but Antoinette, can you speak to Pennsylvania and whether insurers will be enforcing this rule?
Yeah, so, Tia, I think we heard a little bit about that as well, but I'm not sure which insurers are going to actually do that or not, but we can work to find out.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I think this is a little challenging because insurers do have the option whether or not to apply this rule, and so some are, some aren't. In addition, states have the ability to prohibit insurers from enforcing this rule, so that makes this a little more complicated. Teresa, do you know if this insurers in Ohio are enforcing this rule?
We have not heard anything about it not being enforced. That's not intel that we've received yet. No.
Okay. So, in other words, consumers should assume it's being enforced unless they hear otherwise or learn otherwise. And Julia, how about in Indiana?
I the same here. We haven't heard anything different about it.
Okay.
And this is Karen, just to jump in on this. If insurers are going to start this practice for 2018, they are required to have notified their consumers, their enrollees, in writing this year in 2017 that they're going to be doing that. So there is a notice requirement, and people should check their renewal notices and other mail that they may have received from the insurer to see if they received a notice.
Okay, thanks. All right, so we have a question from Mary in Ohio, who says, the marketplace premiums found today in Ohio seem to increase significantly from last week's, the 2018 information that was first available. Why would that be? I don't know. Karen?
Yeah, this is Karen. I'm not sure. I think we did hear last week, I'm not sure what this particular person had heard. There were some headlines about average rate increases. So these examples are taken from healthcare.gov. They are, they show actual premiums for the example person that we portrayed, a 30-year-old at twice the poverty level. So, You can, again, go to healthcare.gov and you can play around with it, put in, you know, different family sizes, different ages, different income levels, and see how the new premiums will look and how the estimated tax credit will work to reduce premiums for people who are eligible for subsidies.
Okay, thanks. So we have a question from Jennifer who says, in Ohio, where would someone in need of having a discussion go to find a navigator? Is there a website or a phone number where an individual can find information on their nearest navigator option? Teresa, can you respond to this? And maybe, I know you discussed this in your presentation, but maybe just reiterate that there's in-person assistance available just even beyond navigators, and so there are options for consumers in Ohio.
Absolutely, and depending on where a consumer lives, the 211 number that is associated with the local United Ways is very helpful in finding a local in-person assister. Our website, ohiochc.org, also has a search feature to find health centers across the state. And as I mentioned, each health center does have a certified application counselor. So you could plug that in and call the main number and find out where that person is in relation to where you are. Also, we're really good about making sure the Find Local Help is updated on healthcare.gov. That's another great resource to kind of plug in your zip code and find someone locally near you. And as I mentioned, that Get Covered connector, I know there's other local organizations who are very interested in making sure that in-person assistance is available throughout Ohio, even if they're not offering it. They've been doing a really great job of cleaning that database up this year and making sure that everyone who's listed on that Get Covered connector or through that phone number is actually offering assistance. So those would be the best resources.
Great. Thanks so much. So we got a question. What is the federal poverty level the answer is the federal poverty level for purposes of application for 2018 coverage is $12,060 for an individual, and then $24,600 for a family of four. So hopefully that answers your question. We have a question from Gwen. What is the status of allowing consumers to buy insurance from other states? I'm going to ask Karen to respond.
So the rules have not changed about that. The general rule is you buy health insurance where you live. There has been discussion throughout the year of allowing people to buy insurance from companies in other states. And so far that's just a proposal, but nothing has been enacted that would change the current rule. So you live in Ohio, you go to the Ohio marketplace and buy from an insurance company that's licensed to sell coverage in the state of Ohio.
Okay, thanks. So a question from Lisa. Can the panel comment on what demographic trends the question is basically who uses navigator services the most? Can you characterize the people that you tend to provide help to? So I'm going to ask our panelists to respond. Maybe Julia, can we start with you?
Well, we have a variety of folks, a lot of people that are retiring early. We have a number of immigrant populations. We have we partner with the community colleges and have folks there, folks at our community mental health centers use navigators. Young people, single parents. We have a lot of small businesses that call us. So It's a variety of folks that that see us and call us for assistance.
Okay, thanks. And Teresa, how about in Ohio, and in terms of the folks that use your services?
I think that anybody who has any questions regarding enrolling in affordable health care coverage should talk to an in-person assister. And that goes for people that are outside that 400% of poverty level to people who have no income that might be eligible for our expanded Medicaid program. Specifically as it relates to health centers, since we are in underserved areas, it tends to probably be a little lower income demographic or lower resource demographic, but health center assisters see everyone. So anyone who has any questions, we have experts on the ground ready to answer any questions from that COBRA question that came in to the 401k. They truly are the experts and know pretty much everything there is to know about in enrolling in health insurance.
Great, thanks. And Antoinette, anything to add from Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I don't know if I have much to add from the other folks. You know, we assist everyone, so everyone should definitely come see our navigators. We have a good kind of balance. A lot of our navigators serve rural communities, but we also have navigators who, you know, work with immigrant populations or also in population centers. We help small business owners. Again, anyone that needs assistance should come seek help from navigators. We help people that, you know, are eligible for tax credits. We also help folks that aren't. So, you know, I think the most important thing is that we're open to for business like the other folks on this call. So, you know, no question is too small or too big for our navigator staff.
Great. Okay, thanks. And we have a question from Teresa. Will the list of medications affect being able to get coverage? So I think this is if consumers are using certain medications, will that affect their ability to get coverage? Karen, do you want to?
Sure, I'll take a crack at that. So the answer is no. You are eligible to buy coverage regardless of your health status, regardless of any medications that you may take. One important thing you will want to look at is the details on what health plans cover. Almost all health plans have what's called a drug formulary. That's a list of drugs that they will cover. They have to cover at least a certain number of drugs for each condition, but not necessarily all of them. So if there are medications that you're taking now, you will want to delve a little deeper when you go in to see an assister or when you otherwise just look on your own. You'll want to click. There is a link to the health plan's formulary, drug formulary on healthcare.gov. You can go through that and look for the names of your medications. If you're not sure, you can also call the plan to try to, you know, get confirmation directly from them. But I know that is a really, really important coverage detail for people. So it does not make you ineligible, but you will want to look at the details of what the plans cover to make sure that your drugs are included on their formulary list.
Okay, thanks. And it looks like we're coming up on the hour, but we've got one last question from Carol, who I think wants a little more information on what happens when consumers haven't reconciled their tax credits for 2016. And she's it looks like she's in Pennsylvania. Antoinette, do you want to maybe kind of walk through what this means and what consumers need to do to kind of address the issue and get their premium subsidies turned back on?
Yeah, so I think first, the obvious answer, I would connect with one of our navigators. So, again, 877-570-3642, and they can kind of help walk through the different scenarios and whatever the situation is because we know it's different for everyone. And again, I think, you know, there's some questions about what insurance companies may or might not do in terms of past due premiums, but for reconciling tax credits and taxes, again, I would contact
a navigator and we'll walk through the different scenarios. And I would do it sooner rather than later, right? Because, you know, we're running up against the time window and it, you know, we'll have to fill out some forms and get that process started.
Yes, great. I think that's very good advice. Okay, well, I think we're now at 1 o'clock, so thank you, everyone. I just want to remind everyone that this web briefing will be recorded and posted online, hopefully today, but certainly by tomorrow, and you can access that at kff.org. Also, if we didn't get to your question or if you have a question that comes up following the briefing, please contact our communications associate, Katie Smith, and her contact information is available here. Again, then we have lots of additional resources on our website at kff.org, and you can keep up with KFF online via email and social media. And so I'd like to thank our panelists very much for their informative presentations today, and I'd like to thank everyone for participating.